Kato, we'd like to start today's seminar, so if everyone could please come in and take their seats, and I'd like to welcome Brother Mustafa Al-Ali to come up and honor and start this seminar with a recitation of the Holy Quran. Please welcome him with the loudest of your salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما يستوي الأعمى والبصير ولا الظلمات ولا وما يستوي الأعمى والبصير ولا الظلمات ولا النور ولا الظل ولا الحرور وما يستوي الأحياء ولا الأموات إن الله يسمع من يشاء إن الله يسمع من يشاء وما أنت بمسمع من في القبور إن أنت إلا نذير إنا أرسلناك بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا وإن من أمة إلا خلا فيها نذير وإن يكذبوك فقد كذب الذين من قبلهم جاءوا رسلهم بالبينات جاءتهم رسلهم بالبينات وبالزبر وبالكتاب المنير ثم أخذت الذين كفروا فكيف كان نكير ألم تر أن الله ومن الجبال جدد بيض وحمر مختلف ألوانها وغرابيب سود ألم تر أن الله أنزل من السماء ماء ألم تر أن الله ثمرات مختلفا ألوانها ومن الجبال جدد بيض حمر مختلف ألوانها وغرابيب سود ألم تر أن الله السماء ماء ألم تر أن الله أنزل من السماء فأخرجنا به ثمرات ومن الجبال جدد بيض وحمر مختلف ألوانها وغرابيب سود ومن الناس والدواب والأنعام مختلف ألوانه كذلك إنما يخشى الله من عباده العلماء إن الله عزيز ومن الناس والدواب والأنعام مختلف ألوانه كذلك إنما يخشى إن الله عزيز غفور إن الذين يتلون كتاب الله وأقاموا الصلاة وأنفقوا مما رزقناهم سرا وعلانية يرجون تجارة ليوفيهم أجورهم ويزيدهم من فضله إنه غفور شكور صدق الله العلي العظيم الفاتحة تسبقها صلوات
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الله صلى الله عليه وسلم Salaamu alaykum jami'an wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It gives me great pleasure to welcome each and every one of you to this seminar to commemorate the death anniversary of a man the likes of whom the world may never see again. An individual who defied all convention from every angle. If you want to look at it from the angle of a revolutionary, he didn't dress like one, nor did he act like the conventional revolutionaries of his day. An individual who in a single movement toppled a 2,000-year-old monarchy, but not only that, changed the landscape of the very world that we live in, the effects of which are still being felt until this day. We have a huge lineup of speakers, an array of scholars and speakers that will come and enlighten us over the coming 2 hours or so. And inshallah, they'll look at different aspects of the life of Imam Khomeini. An individual who drove his whole movement under one simple idea, one simple notion, and that was a return to the pure Islam. As simple as it seems, the aim is very difficult. An aim that we in our day-to-day lives are still trying to achieve. And so throughout this seminar, you'll hear different angles, different perspectives about this giant personality. And hopefully by the end of it, you can take away something to try and implement in your life to see how we can bring about that pure Islam within our own households, within our own communities. Thank you for those of you that made it on time today, despite all our well wishers outside. Inshallah, we will continue and they will continue as well, but we will be undeterred. A couple of housekeeping rules. Fire exits should, in the unlikely case, the fire alarms go off, please make yourself aware of the fire exits. There are two at the back. There's one there at the side of the building. If the fire alarms do go off, please leave the building in an orderly fashion. The next bit of housekeeping is for our honored guests. It's a humble request if you would please stick to your time that you have been given, that has been allotted to you, so that we can reach the time of Salah and complete everything that we wanted to on this night. The first thing in our proceedings is a short video clip which will talk about a part of the will of Imam Khomeini. So to begin that, please recite your loudest salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
امروز و در آتیه نیز اون چه برای ملت ایران و مسلمانان جهان باید مطرح باشد و اهمیت اون را در نظر گیرند، خونسا کردن تبلیغات تفرق افکن خانه برانداز است. توصیه این جانب به مسلمین و خصوص ایرانیان به ویژه در عصر حاضر آن است که در مقابل این توطئه ها عکس العمل نشان داده و به انسجام و وحدت خود به هر راه ممکن افزایش دهند و کفار و منافقان را مایوس نماید. ب. از توطئه های مهمی که در قرن اخیر خصوصا در دهه های معاصر و به ویژه پس از پیروزی انقلاب آشکارا به چشم می خورد، تبلیغات دامنه دار با ابعاد مختلف برای مایوس نمودن ملت ها و خصوص ملت فداکار ایران از اسلام است. گاهی ناشیانه و با صراحت به این که احکام اسلام که 1400 سال قبل وضع شده است نمیتواند در عصر حاضر کشورها را اداره کند، یا اون که اسلام یک دین ارتجاعی است و یا هر نوع آوری و مظاهر و با هر نوع آوری و مظاهر تمدن مخالف است و در عصر حاضر نمی شود کشورها از تمدن جهانی و مظاهر اون کناری گیرند و امثال این تبلیغات ابلهانه و گاهی موذیانه و شیطنت آمیز به گونه طرفداری از قداست اسلام و گاهی موذیانه و شیطنت آمیز به گونه طرفداری از قداست اسلام که اسلام و دیگر ادیان الهی سر و کار دارند با معنویات و تهذیب نفوس و تحذیر از مقامات دنیایی و دعوت به ترک دنیا و اشتغال به عبادات و اذکار و ادعیه که انسان را به خدای تعالی نزدیک و از دنیا دور می کند و حکومت و سیاست و سررشته‌داری برخلاف اون مقصد و مقصود بزرگ و معنوی است که اینها برای تعمیر دنیاست و اون مخالف مسلک انبیاء عظام است و مع الاسف تبلیغ به وجه دوم در بعضی از روحانیان و متدینان بیخبر از اسلام تأثیر گذاشته که حتی دخالت در حکومت و سیاست را به مثابه یک گناه و فسق می دانستند و شاید بعضی بدانند و این فاجعه بزرگی که اسلام مبتلای به اون بود و این فاجعه بزرگی که اسلام مبتلای به اون بود.
Our first speaker for tonight is Sister Jinan Abdullah. Please welcome her to the stage with your loudest salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف خير خلق الله محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. Dear brothers, sisters and scholars, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. First of all, I would like to thank the Islamic Center for inviting me to participate in this event and to also to get the opportunity to learn from all the presentations later on. So when there is a special occasion like this, whether it's a birth anniversary or a death anniversary of an important figure, prophet or imam, I like to sit down, reflect and think. And I like to think about the practical side. What would be something that I can learn from this individual on this occasion? A lesson which I can apply and implement in my life. Something which helps me get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and something that can help me be a better human being and something which can help me in my journey in this dunya and prepare me for the akhirah. I came across the historic letters. Imam Khomeini frequently wrote letters and advice to his son Sayyid Ahmed, to his daughter-in-law Sayyida Fatima Tabtaba'i, to his wife, and to many other members of his family. The letters contain treasures of mysticism, deep divine moral and spiritual lessons. These letters contain the basic values and principles of Islam. And thus Imam Khomeini Ridwanullahi alayh was the reviver of the pure and true Islam as represented by Prophet Muhammad. Imam Khomeini has left several works in different fields such as philosophy, hadith, Quranic interpretations, and other Islamic science and disciplines of knowledge. He also wrote many books. One of the books that he wrote is The Disciplines of the Prayer, Adab al-Salah. And he dedicated this book to his son and to his daughter-in-law, Sayyida Fatima. Now, when you dedicate a great work that you've done to someone, you are actually acknowledging that person. And you grant or bestow a high honor on that person whom you want to praise or spotlight. What appeals to me is that Imam Khomeini, Ridwanullahu ta'ala alayh, dedicated the book Adab al-Salah to his daughter-in-law. Not only that, he actually wrote so many beautiful, mystical letters to her. This shows how close and strong their relationship was. And this is not something strange for Imam Khomeini, as one of the main outcomes of his blessed revolution was to empower women and to give them the right high status in the society. And this was also a message that Prophet Muhammad had worked very hard on. The Imam's revolution is one that shook the world and awakened the nations. A revolution which reminds us of the change, of the huge change that Prophet Muhammad brought to the whole of humanity. In the preface of the book Adab al-Salah, he wrote, "O my daughter, I hope you will be successful in applying the disciplines of this grand divine ascension and be guided by the divine Buraq through a migration from the dark room of self to Allah. O Allah, make us of the immigrants to you and to your messenger." How beautiful the mystical words that Imam has chosen. Divine ascension, divine buraq, immigration of the dark room of self to Allah. This reflects the high spiritual station of Imam, which itself could be a whole topic to discuss. However, today I would like to highlight some other points from Imam. Number one, the importance of a prayer and its disciplines. Imam Khomeini had written different books, advice, and delivered several speeches in this regard. He gave us the practical strategies in how to be present while we are praying and how to improve our prayers. Through these writings, books, speeches, Imam explained the type of a prayer that has been emphasized by Islam, Quran, the Holy Prophet, and the infallible Imams. This prayer has a body and a soul, and the one praying should have heartfelt attention and give careful consideration to the meaning of what he or she is saying, whilst having the intention of getting closer to Allah and being wary and careful of the influence of Satan and his deceitful games. It's worth going back to these resources, studying them deeply, taking one or two points and start implementing them in our daily prayer. A beautiful lesson that we can take with us is the importance of a prayer, and may we all have the determination tonight to improve our prayers based on Imam's valuable guidance. Another point is there is so much humbleness in Imam's letters, writings, and behavior overall. He wrote in his preface of the book Adab al-Salah, "I take refuge in Allah from being among those referred to by this ayah, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. O you who believe, why do you say what you don't do?" He wrote, "I have neither perceived," like I have neither realized or grasped, "the secrets of the Salah." The secrets of the Salah is a book that was written by Imam Khomeini before the book, The Discipline of the Salah. So he said, "I have neither perceived the secrets of the Salah nor applied its discipline." He said, "I have no refuge but his vast mercy." This is how Imam Khomeini saw himself, as always dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as always seeking refuge in Allah, as always having fear and hope in Allah, and we should be moving back and forth between these two elements or these two views. And this could be another lesson that we can take with us. To finish my speech, Within the time allocated for me, I would like to share with you a short story about Imam and then conclude. So one time, there was a poet who began to praise Imam Khomeini before Imam gave his speech. So he started saying that you are the Dawood of the era, you are the Sulaiman of the era. Sit on your throne and command us as Allah gave you the right to command us. So he said this in a poetic language as to say that Imam Khomeini was successful and now he is the leader of the Islamic revolution. When Imam Khomeini Ridwanullah ta'ala alayhi started his speech, he acknowledged that person. And he says, you are a person who has a powerful speech, you are a person who are committed to your deen. But he also then had a complaint for him. He said, I seek refuge in Allah from all these things that you've just said about me, because if I were to believe them, they may take me away from Allah. Imam Khomeini said, I am concerned about the effect of these things on myself. Then the entire audience started to weep because of the humbleness and the sincerity of how Imam spoke. It was clear that Imam Khomeini was speaking the truth, and this is how he saw himself. He saw himself in being absolutely, totally dependent on Allah. And by that, Imam Khomeini highlighted humbleness as a great value. And this is a lesson for us to take. But most importantly, he highlighted that Allah and His presence should be the center of our feelings, actions, and movements in this life. And this is another lesson for us to take. At the end of this speech, and in light of this occasion, I would like to urge myself first and everybody, especially the youth, to study the lifestyle, thoughts, messages, and speeches delivered by Imam Khomeini, because they consist of so much wisdom. They consist of cultural, social, political, and spiritual lessons, which can be a guiding light for us and can truly take us back to the pure and true Islam. Assalamu alayka ya ruhullah. Peace be upon you, the day you were born and the day you died. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you very much, Sister Janan, for that enlightening talk, highlighting one of the most beautiful books that Imam Khomeini wrote, arguably for the layman, his Adab al-Salah, but also a mention of Asrar al-Salah there as well. Lessons from his life for all of us to implement, the importance of prayer in our life, humbleness. The world would be a lot, much quieter place if we all tried to instill that humbleness within ourselves. And then the third lesson, and that is that placing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the forefront of one's actions in every single aspect of one's life. Next, we invite Dr. Sayyid Inayatullah Andrabi to come to the podium and deliver his lecture. Please welcome him with a loud salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. This modern times, the civilization which is sometimes referred to as Western civilization, the global civilization spanning the whole world with a very significant exception of Iran. This civilization, it started about 500 years back in 16th century. And the important centers were England, France, Italy. About four years back, I was in Qom, the holy city of Qom, and I was addressing a gathering. I told them that we leave apart the other people, leave apart the non-Muslims. Even Muslims do not realize that this place, Qom, I'm speaking in Qom, and this is a place where a dream of new world came up, where a dream of new civilization, a civilization of Tawheed, where God is at the center of individual and collective life, civilization of Tawheed, as opposed to civilization of money, where life starts from money, ends with money. The best materialistic civilization where we are living, where we are breathing. I was telling them that hardly we feel it, that I'm in a city, the holy city of Qom, where something emerged with the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to write a new chapter in the world history and start a new civilizational era. So why I'm saying this is, when we talk of Imam Khomeini, we are talking of something very, very big. I have been given 10 minutes and I will try to stick to it, but I must say that there are so many facets to it. I had the privilege of speaking about Imam Khomeini on some television channels also. And this is something we must understand, that we are talking about something which is very great and has many facets. Now, what I want to say is, this topic of today, the Imam Khomeini and the pure Islam, it used to be a very favorite theme with Imam Khomeini and his successor, Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei. It is still a theme with them. They talk about Islam, Nabi Muhammad. They have been highlighting it, they have been emphasizing it, that Islam, but Islam, the pure Islam of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, I think if I keep to my topic, I should say something about what does it mean, and that itself is something which is very difficult to cover in 10 minutes. But let me do this. That let me at least stimulate your thought on some important questions relating to it. If I'm able to do that, I will regard that as my immediate reward, if I can do that. The question before us is about this pure Islam. Now, just think about it, that it could mean so many things, and it does mean. I just want to draw your attention to the fields, to the areas where this thing applies. People contest. They say, your Islam is not pure, my Islam is pure. This is sometimes drawn into a self-righteousness, a self-serving disputation. People fight about it. Yours is not. Mine is pure Islam. You are not good Muslim. I am good Muslim. So when we are saying about Imam Khomeini and pure Islam, we are not talking about these cheap things. We are talking sometimes about very big. And that I want you to understand, that it's not merely that we say Imam Khomeini Islam was pure, this is not pure, and we start disputing and we start contesting. It's not that. What it is? It is basically this. The pure thing, the pure Islam, if anywhere the purity is lost, if we see Islam as not being pure, it is mainly in our social and political life. Our social order, our political life has drifted to the extent that it has become unrecognizable. It does not resemble the prophetic paradigm. It's not the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's not that only. It is the divine paradigm, the paradigm which was set by the divine religion. Our social and political order has no resemblance to it. That is where the purity mainly comes. That is where things have become very impure. You might be knowing that there are schools of thought who think that history has polluted Islam and we want to go back, and they go back in terms of very apparent things, in terms of dress, in terms of size of beard, in terms of these things. Now, all these things have their own place, but this is not the main thing where we have deviated. The deviation is basically in social and political terms. Our societies, the way they are organized, and our governances and our leadership, that has no resemblance. And it was here that Imam Khomeini made a huge contribution. He started a new chapter. And when I say this, I want you to realize that what we are talking here is beyond schools of thought. It is beyond Shia-Sunni, because Shia-Sunni, for that matter, Shia, Maktabai Shia, it existed before also. But nothing was happening. It started after Imam Khomeini. So we have to realize this. Now, what was, let me tell you, as I said, this would ask for more time, but let me put it very briefly. What is the opposite of religion? On one side, it is religion or divine guidance or guidance from Allah, guidance from our Creator. On the other side is secularism. Secularism is being indifferent to all the divine guidance. Now, what is the crux of secularism? And what is the crux of divine religion? The crux of secularism is that they regard the reality, people, land, earth, history, they regard it as self-contained, nothing beyond it. They deny transcendence. This is the main thing. What is not here is not. And what is, this is the end of it. And the divine religion regards the basic thing, the divine religion regards this world as transitory, not the real world. As transitory, we are on the way to somewhere. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We are from God, we are temporarily here, and we are headed towards God. So the divine religion first defines the reality, and it defines the reality in the terms which secularism is not. Now, after defining this reality, it then comes up with the systems, with the paradigm of how people should live in this transitory world. And that creates an Islamic civilization. The point is, how can the transcendental goals and objectives, the success of human beings in the world hereafter, how can that be achieved in this world by which civilizational order? By which civilization? The answer, I'm keeping it very brief. The answer is something which the Prophet of God, which he provided under the instruction of Allah at the place of Ghadir. What was the answer? The answer was that it was the Nubuwa was transferred to Imama. Islamic civilization is a civilization of Imama. The society has to be led by Imam and what Imam Khomeini called Wali-e-Faqih. And why I say that his contribution here was absolutely, that was a defining contribution, basic contribution, because Imam Khomeini attached great importance to this. He said that in the absence of the Imam-e-Zaman, we should not be silent. Ulama should govern, ulama should lead. And I have been given a notice, but I want to stimulate your thought on this point. And I want to tell you that this Imam Khomeini issued a fatwa on January 6, 1988. After Islamic Revolution, there were so many, as you know, Bani Sadr was the president, he had to go. First, Mehdi Bazargan was, then he had to go. But that's all a big story, a long story. But I want to tell you that on January 6, 1988, Imam Khomeini issued a fatwa and the edict. The edict was, this is the English translation, which Professor Hamid Algar has done. Hamid Algar is a good professor, good authority on Imam Khomeini and Iran. His books are available on Amazon. You can see that. Now, this fatwa read that governance is the most important of all divine ordinances, ahkam ilahi, and it takes precedence over secondary divine ordinances. Imam Khomeini further continued, I'm just keeping it this, but it was further. He further continued that the Wali-e-Faqih, the leader of Muslims, the leader of Mu'mineen, he can suspend Hajj even. He said, as we implement laws to control narcotics, to control this, that, governance is the most important thing which the Imam has to do, and he can sometimes, for the interest, which they call maslahat, for the maslahat of the Islamic order, he can suspend Hajj. Now imagine how much importance he attached to governance. As I said, our social political structures are so distorted, they bear no resemblance to the divine paradigm and anything. Just 2 minutes. And so this was, and just by the way, I should tell you that when it comes to the maslahat, what is the maslahat of the Islamic order, Imam Khomeini himself constituted a committee. There are so many committees in Iran, Majlis Shura in Gehban and others. He constituted a committee which was مجمع تشخیص مصلحت نظامی اسلامی. The English translation was Assembly for the Determination of the Interest of the Islamic Order. This comprised some ulama, and this was that. So my last point is that when we speak of the Islamic civilization and the civilization in which we are living now, as I said, this is a global civilization except Iran. In Iran, a beginning has been made, and it's not a national beginning, it is for the whole world. Iran is the prototype of it. Everything starts from prototype, so Iran is the prototype. Last thing, that in this civilization, as I said, that if Islamic civilization aims at people's success in the world hereafter, then it should not be limited to this world. And you can see that in the constitution of Iran, every constitution has a preamble. Preamble means, in the constitution, the preamble states what the purpose of constitution, what for this constitution is, what are the objectives of constitution. So preamble is very basic thing. In the preamble of this constitution of the Islamic Republic of Iran, there is a para, and I must read it, and after that I will take your leave. It's a paragraph in the preamble of the Islamic the constitution. It says, economy is a means, not an end. The strengthening the foundations of the economy, the fundamental consideration will be fulfillment of the material needs of man in the chorus of his overall growth and development. So it is not economy as an end in itself. And it cannot be in a civilization which seeks the success of people in the world hereafter. How can economy be the end in itself? But that is what it is now. But that is what is not in Iran. And I have you can find this in constituteproject.org. If you note down constituteproject.org, this website lists the constitution of all countries in the world. It has the Iranian constitution also on its website. I had to say something more, but I will take your leave now. But I will only emphasize that when we talk of Imam Khomeini and Islamic Revolution of Iran, we have to go beyond the general template of how we discuss and what are the categories. It is something very huge, very significant. As I said, it marks the beginning of a Tawhidi civilization. It's not the change of government, you know. It's not the change of, it's a civilizational change, and we are passing through it. So with those words, I will take leave of you. I wish you all the best, Rabban Aftabal.
Santam, thank you, Dr. Sayyid Inayatullah. We apologize about the shortness of time, but we have many other speakers as well. Some very interesting points raised by Dr. Sayyid Inayatullah, especially in terms of the exclusivity of the true Islam, and that previous movements before the rise of Imam Khomeini and even subsequent ones have been more of a fashion statement, i.e. trying to emulate the clothing from the time of the Prophet rather than the transcendental socio-political ideals of the Holy Prophet, something that Imam Khomeini implemented, and something that, as Dr. Sayyid had said, will continue to flourish even though it has been decades since he left this mortal realm. Next up, we have a short video clip on the funeral of Imam Khomeini. Please, the brothers will begin to play it. Please recite loud salawat.
شیرت میخواد ببینی؟
بچی؟
میخوای از جنگ ایران برات بذارم؟ یه سری تصویر ضبط کردیم. آها یادم افتاد، فوت آیت الله خمینی.
شما کجا باید کشید که علاقه باید؟ بیشت همون برای چی رفت رو اونجا؟ اونجا زمین که نایدیش
خدا
چرا رفتی کشید؟ شما چقدر علاقه به عزت امام باشید؟
ما روزا خونه نبودیم.
از فیلم ها میشد فهمید، انگار همه ریخته بودن تو خیابون.
تو از اینجا تشییع جنازه رو دیدی، اما من تو قلب تهران نتونستم ببینم.
چرا؟ آها تو چشمات که
از اون روزا چیزی ضبط کردی؟
تصویر؟
نماز شام غریبان چو گریه آغاز خدا نماز شان غریب آیان چو گری آغازم به مویه های غریبانه قصه پردازم دارد آیان که از جهان ره و رسم سفر براندازم به یاد یار و دیار آنچنان بگریم زار که از جهان و رسم سفر براندازم دوست که از جهان ره و رسم سفر براندازم
با دلی آرام و قلبی مطمئن و روحی شاد و ضمیری امیدوار به فضل خدا از خدمت خواهران و برادران مرخص و به سوی جایگاه ابدی سفر می
کنند. یا
Next, I'd like to invite Sister Fatima Ala to come to the podium. Please welcome her with a loud salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. قلم را برداشته ام و در ذهنم عکس ها و فیلم های امام خمینی رحمت الله علیه را تداعی می کنم. یاد تابستانی گرم که پا گذاشتم در حرم دوست داشتنی شما، یاد خاطرات مادرم و بازی های کودکانه اش در حرم شما. من هم در حرم شما خاطره ساخته ام، خاطراتی که هیچگاه از ذهنم پاک نخواهند شد. یاد صحبت‌های پدرم که با چشمانی پر از شوق از شما برایم گفته‌اند آقا جان صحبت درباره شما سخت است، زبان قاصر است از بیان شخصیت جامعه شما. به قول رهبرم، در میان رهبران سیاسی جهان تا به امروز کمتر شخصیتی به جامعیت شما وجود دارد که همه خصال نفیس و کمیاب را در خود جای دهد. ابعاد روحی و معنوی، اخلاص، توکل، تواضع، دعا، توسل، همت بلند، شجاعت، صلابت، ساده زیستی و احیای ارزش‌های اسلامی همه و همه در وجود شما جاری بود. شما طراح یک نظام سیاسی بوده اید که هیچ گونه سابقه‌ای در جهان نداشت. شما روح اعتماد به نفس را در ملت‌های مستضعف جهان دمیدید. شما نوای حج ابراهیمی را دوباره زنده کردید و انقلاب اسلامی ایران را با قیام عاشورای ابا عبدالله پیوند زدید. شما به اسلام عزت بخشیدید و پرچم قرآن را در جهان به اهتزاز درآوردید. به فرموده رهبر عزیزتر از جانم، شما اسلام ناب را دوباره زنده کردید. پس حفظ این میراث عظیم یعنی جمهوری اسلامی بر همه ما واجب است. فارغ از سن و سال، همه ما وظیفه داریم که با تمام توان عاشقانه از امام عزیزمان که یک حقیقت همیشه زنده است، از اسلام و انقلاب دفاع کنیم و بدانیم راه او راه ما، هدف او هدف ما و رهنمود او مشعل فروزنده ماست. ما امیدواریم به روزهای بهتر و به پرچمی که قرار است از دست رهبرمان به مولای ما داده شود. ما امیدواریم به آمدنت گل نرگس. ما امیدواریم به روز ظهور شما و همه با هم سلام می دهیم به شما مولای مان و می گوییم سلام 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 فرمانده. I have never met you, but all the stories that have been said about you touch my heart. All the photos and videos that I have seen of you make me feel like you are a kind father to us. We can see the love people all around the world have for you, even though they have never seen you. You stand out from all the politicians around the globe because of your strong bond with Allah, your wisdom, your purity, your bravery, your modest life, and many of the other heartwarming characteristics you have. This also helped you gain popularity amongst the poor-stricken people. When I research about you and your viewpoints, I come to the ideology of pure Islam, and from that I understand that Islam answers all our questions and wants us to reach a flourishing level in this life and in the hereafter. Some people assume that Islam belongs to 1,400 years ago. However, this clashes with your point of view. You have taught us that Islam is a complete and on-point religion that can solve even the problems that us humans have in the year 2022. You have taught us that Islam is a moderate religion, and inshallah, when our 12th Imam appears, he will save this world and transform it into having complete peace and harmony. Another point that you taught us about is adala, justice. You changed our point of view to make us realize that religion and politics are linked with each other. You showed all the suffering people that they should be strong and brave and that they should stand up for their rights. Nelson Mandela said, Imam Khomeini was one of the heroes who inspired us to fight against apartheid. He was not only a great leader for Iran, but also all the freedom fighters of the world. We are in debt to you no matter our age. You helped plant a blooming flower in our heart that we will wholeheartedly present to the Imam of our time. Salawat.
Thank you very much for that, Sister Fatima. Initially, I did start scribbling down a quick translation. I thought I'd have to go on and translate. But alhamdulillah, she presented afterwards in English, made my life a lot easier. So thank you for that. Another loud salawat for her, please. Next, we have a lecture from Sheikh Abdullah Ubaid, who's come from Lebanon. Please welcome him with a loud salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
A'udhu billahi min sharri shaytan al-la'in al-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala ashraf al-khalq wa azz al-mursaleen sayyidina wa habibi qulubina وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم محمد بن عبد الله.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, most merciful, most compassionate, we gather tonight to stand in sorrow for such a loss of such a leader of humanity. Imam Khomeini wasn't just for the Iranian people or for the Middle Eastern people. He was Imam for the whole universe. By all means, I would like to say, and it's not my words, but there is a book by the name In the Way of Jamaran, في الطريق إلى جمران, by Professor Robin Woodworth. He said, I'm gonna say it briefly because my time is short and I would like to stick to the time. Please, brother, tell me when my time is up. So I'll be sticking to the time. Professor Woodworth said, it was in the Iraqi-Irani war, the New York Times and other magazines sent me to check up. He said, I studied psychology, politics, and I am a journalist. He went to Iran to see what kind of man is Khomeini. That's what he said. He said, I met lots of leaders around the world, and I can judge by the gestures, the body language, their personality. And I wanted to do an interview with Imam Khomeini. At that time, he said, there were 500 soldiers and policemen around the house of Jamaran. And they granted us to go in Husayniya Jamaran and to hear the lecture. Said, I sit in a humble place. No alim would accept this place to be their own Husayniya or center. And there's a balcony, a chair with white cloth on top of it. And he said, I was thinking and remembering what they told us about Khomeini back in the United States of America. That you are meeting, they said, the head of terrorism. This is what he said. And I was thinking, how did he accomplish this revolution? What kind of a man that stood up against the oppression, against the Shah, against the dictator that was ruling Iran? And he was thinking and thinking and thinking. He said, suddenly they called louder salawat, Imam Khomeini is about to go into the balcony. And I heard the louder salawat. He said, I start looking at the people have the love. The people stood up, shouting, long live Khomeini. And then, when his hand just came out from the door, I can look at the power of light storming the building. I felt the light coming into my heart, cleaning all the bad ideas about Khomeini. And I can feel that, yes, it's only if I meet Jesus Christ, I can feel the same light. This man, is he a prophet? That's what he said. This man, what kind of man is this? He said, he attracted me. I stood up and started shouting, long live Khomeini with them. And when I saw him, I felt in love with him. I felt this light coming into my heart, puring my heart and my soul. So when I went to the interview, I asked him. And then the CNN just stopped there. He said, they didn't continue the coverage. You know why? He said, what's the secret of the light coming out from your face, your beard, that entered my heart? I can feel Islam, not without even you saying anything. If I am meeting Muhammad or Jesus. And he said, I couldn't stop crying between his hands. He said, it's Islam that made us like that. Muhammad gave us this light. Quran gave us this. No, Professor Woodworth, that the hand of God is behind us. And no matter what, nobody can stop this revolution of God, because it's the revolution of Muhammad and Ali and Fatima, salawatullah wa salamu alayhim. Till this revolution is gonna reach the real owner. That's what he told him. And I told him, who's the real owner? Wasn't you? He said, no. I'm just a servant of the people. Imam Ali said, me being a servant better than me being a khalif. So who's the real owner of this revolution? He said, he's a man called Muhammad ibn al-Hasan al-Mahdi. Ajjalallah ta'ala farajahu al-sharif. This is why even our Sayyids in Lebanon keep on saying the same word. We are going to be victorious because we carry the belief of Islam, the belief of Imam. We follow Imam Khomeini till we reach Imam Mahdi, ajjalallah ta'ala farajahu al-sharif. Our beloved leaders in Lebanon, they said, we are waiting, ya sahib al-zaman. Imagine This man, whatever he do, Khomeini, is always victorious. He accomplishes goals. Imagine a small song, small nasheed. Salam Farmande. Imagine a small song. Kids are saying that this song means a lot for our kids because they love their imam. They are waiting for their imam. And now they told me it's being translated Urdu, Arabic, English, and it's going to be recited all over the world by those beautiful words when they say our small hands is going to grow to be in your service, and they say Salam Farmande. Salam Imam Khomeini, all the blessing on your heart, all the blessing on your body, and we are proud that your successor is our real leader towards Imam Mahdi. God bless you, bless Iran, bless United Kingdom by you, our crowd being here in London. God bless you all. Al-Fatiha on the soul of Imam Khomeini. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Abdullah Ubaid, for those beautiful words. Next in our lineup is Dr. Muhammad Khalid, who has joined us. Please welcome him with a loud salat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen Wal Aqibatu Lil Muttaqeen Wa Salatu Wa Salamu Ala Sayyidil Anbiya'i Wal Mursaleen Wa Ala Ali Baytihi Tahirin Al Mutahareen Wa Ala Ashabihi Al Muntakhabeen Wa Man Tabi'ahum Bi Ihsanin Ila Yawmiddin Salli Ala Muhammad Wa Ala Ali Muhammad Wa Barik Wa Sallim. This is really a great saada, blessing for me to be here with you today. I'm really grateful to Agha Hujjatul Islam, Agha Sayyid Al-Musavi Hafizahullah and his team and all ulama for inviting me here and to participate very briefly in this great and important gathering. In respect of the very important 33rd anniversary of Allama Imam Al-Khomeini, Rahimahullah. This is really surprising how he inspired the whole of the nation and brought about a unique revolution in the history of mankind, I must say. While he had no one single soldier, can you imagine? And he defeated more than 700,000 mighty forces of Ashar, naval forces, air force, ground forces, without any army. Can you imagine? Because I'm the student of the history, and Sayyid Agha Al-Musavi, he knows. And when you go through the great revolutions of the world, and you may find the people who brought about all these revolutions through the worldly resources, wealth, and especially army, and the one great portion of the nation, they supported them. That's all. In the case of Imam Khomeini, the situation is entirely different. There is no army at all. Without worldly resources and the wealth, there is a unique inqilab, Islamic revolution. That's with the support of the whole of the nation. I just said, always in the history of the revolution, only one very important portion of the nation always had participated, not the whole of the nation. The rest of the nation, however, supported that. But they never participated because there was army, trained army, and that worked effectively. But in the case of the revolution of Iran, no army. What was the army? That was the word of the truth and the whole of the nation, from the villages, from the towns, here and there, they were in the battlefield. Who can stand in front of this great and huge army of the public? Stood up on the truth. That's only with the grace and the help of Almighty God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah ta'ala was there. So we have to admire, we have to remember. Now coming to the second point, which is Ad-Dinul Khalis. That was the great slogan and the message conveyed by Imam Khomeini for the whole of the Muslim Ummah. And that was the based on Ala Lillahi Dinul Khalis, according to the Quran. Beware, and this is Ad-Dinul Khalis. This is only pure deen, pure religion is acceptable in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Almighty God. And in Surah Al-Bajina of the Holy Quran, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ حُنَفَاءَ. And they have been ordered, in other words, we have been commanded, not to worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and makes the deen purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be exclusive towards him, Jalla Jalalu. And that was the great message. So there are some characteristics and distinctive traits of Ad-Dinul Khalis. Very briefly, the first one is being as ummatan wasata, the balanced ummah, the median. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطَى, from the Quran Al-Baqarah. And for this mission we made you, O the believers of Islam, believers of Muhammad and the Quran, the median ummah. It means the balanced ummah. أُمَّةً وَسَطَى, which is opposite to Al-Ghuluv, extremism. Any form of extremism is not allowed. لَا تَغْلُوا فِي دِينِكُمْ. This is ummatan wasata, balanced approach. So the wasata, this is not related to any particular aspect of your life, but the all aspects of your life. Your thought, your writing, your propaganda, your literature, your work, even your ibadat, they must be balanced. This is the balanced approach based on taqwa. Imam Ali al-Islam, he was questioned by a Bedouin and he was asking about the reality of taqwa. Mahiya haqiqatu taqwa. And Imam, he replied, according to the level of the understanding, very brief sentence, but the full of hikmah, fasaha, and balagha. There is an ocean of balagha. Imam said, stay away whatever has been prohibited by Allah and His Messenger. That's all. That's taqwa. And basing on taqwa, the balanced approach, ummatan wasata, this is the identical feature of Muslim ummah. And regarding the Ad-Dinul Khalis, the pure religion, the another aspect, characteristic is unity, al-wahdatul ummatul islamiyya. This is very important. I always said here, on this member, this place, more than once. Always. Ittihad and the unity of Muslim ummah, this is not the need of the hour. This is well-established principles of Islam. وَعْتَسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. This is wajib upon the Muslim ummah on the basis of the articles of faith provided by the Holy Quran, promulgated by the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, then established by Aimma and Mujtahideen later on. So it has nothing to do with Sunniism or Shiaism. They are divine rules, the articles of faith, to unite. And we may unite on the basis of the same principles, the whole of humanity as well, my brothers and sisters. So this is the second very important identical feature. And there is another identical feature of Ad-Dinul Khalis, the pure religion, Mukhlisina lahu ad-Din, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's al-ukhuwatul islamiyya, Islamic brotherhood and sisterhood. This is based on the verse of the Holy Quran, but various verses of the Quran. This is from Surah Al-Hujurat. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَى فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ. All mu'mineen, all believers, they are brothers with one another, and you have to try to reconcile among them. If there is any fitna, any rift, any dispute, this is Islamic brotherhood. And then Nabi Kareem alayhi salatu was salam, he says in his hadith, تَرَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فِي تَرَاحُبِهِمْ وَتَعَاطُفِهِمْ وَتَوَادِّهِمْ كَمَثَلِ الْجَسَدِ. And you would see all believers, Muslim believers, in terms of helping each other, in terms of loving each other, and in terms of sympathizing each other, just like a one single human body. إِذَا اشْتَكَى مِنْهُ عُضْوٌ تَدَاعَ لَهُ سَائِرُ الْجَسَدْ بِالسَّهَرِ وَالْحُمَّى. And when any part, any organ of the human body is affected by fever or any pain, the rest of the organs, they do share the same pain with it. Right? Because they are interconnected. In the same way, the Muslim Ummah is interconnected. So these are the major characteristics of and traits, distinctive traits of Ad-Din al-Khalis. And that was effectively conveyed by Imam Khomeini rahimahullah. And this is the great message today for the unity of Muslim Ummah today between Sunnis and Shias, all of them. And finally, I have to congratulate and the management of this Islamic center, and especially Agha Hujjatul Isman Al-Musawi hafizahullah for organizing this great, you know, function, this great program in the memory of Sayyid Allama Al-Khomeini rahmatullah alayh. That's all for me. Thank you for listening. Wa ma alayna illa al-balagh al-mubin.
Thank you very much, Dr. Muhammad Khalid, for that enlightening talk. The principles of that true Islam, unity, Islamic brotherhood, and finding that middle path away from extremism or apathy. Next, we have a short video that will look again at the last part of the will of Imam Khomeini. So please welcome that video with a loud salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
و وصیت من به همه آن است که با یاد خدای متعال به سوی خودشناسی و خودکفایی و استقلال با همه ابعادش به پیش و بی تردید دست خدا را شما. اگر شما در خدمت او باشید و برای ترقی و تعالی کشور اسلامی به روح تعاون ادامه دهید و این جانب با اون که در ملت عزیز از بیداری و هوشیاری و تعهد و فداکاری و روح مقاومت و سلامت در راه حق می‌بینم و امید آن دارم که به فضل خداوند متعال از این معانی انسانی به اعقاب ملت منتقل شود و نسلا بعد نسل بر آن افزوده گردد با دلی آرام و قلبی مطمئن و روحی شاد و ضمیری امیدوار به فضل خدا از خدمت خواهران و برادران مرخص و به سوی جایگاه ابدی سفر می کنم و به دعای خیر شما احتیاج مبرم دارم و از خدای رحمان و رحیم می خواهم که عذرم را در کوتاهی خدمت و قصور و تقصیر بپذیر. و از ملت امیدوارم که عذرم را در کوتاهی ها و قصور ها و تقصیر ها بپذیرم. و با قدرت و تصمیم اراده به پیش روم و بدانم که با رفتن یک خدمتگزار در سد آهنین ملت خللی حاصل نخواهد شد. که خدمتگزاران بالا و بالاتر در خدمت هست و الله نگهدار این ملت و مظلومان جهان است. و سلام علیکم و علی عباد الله الصالحین.